to the 23rd Psalm. And in just a moment, we want to begin talking about, thank you. It's what I'm looking for. How could you read my mind? And it is a privilege to have all of you here this morning. Privilege to have, it's a blessing. And some of you I've just met this morning. Some of you I met yesterday. And because of what we went through yesterday, street handing out Bibles, it feels like I've known you for a long time. And, but all of you, are friends and I appreciate it. Glenn, makes the announcement. We have known each other over 40 years and, we're in the same dorm in college. And, there's a friend of mine visiting with us today near the back, Judy Wilson, that I've known over 50 years. And I'm sorry to reveal your age, Judy, in that, but I haven't told her what I'm about to say, and if she wants to contradict this afterwards, she can tell me about this. But the only year in school that I made all A's before college was fifth grade. And I know Judy was in my class, and I don't know if this be true or not, but I heard wind that she had made a B that year. And I do remember rejoicing beat her in the overall grade. Now, she beat me overall. In graduating class, she was like ninth or so, and I was in the 20s somewhere. So she beat me overall. But I want you to know that if you pass Judy, that was a standard that you did pretty well. So you can correct me if I missed this. She may tell me she made plays in fifth grade too. But it's good to see her. Good to see all of you wanting to come out to study His Word. And we're going to read Psalm 23 in a moment. I know our brother John read that earlier. But there's the division of the text in verses 1 through 4. Talks about the Lord as a shepherd, and verses 5 and 6 will talk about the Lord as a host. The image of the shepherd is more familiar to us, but also this picture of the Lord as a host, and we want to explain that more in just a moment. Notice that this is a deeply personal psalm. It uses, and I'm basing this on my count, it may be a little off, he uses my 6 times and me 7 times and I 3 times in this particular text. Verses 1 through 3 and verse 6, the Lord is addressed in third person. The Lord is my shepherd. But notice in verses 4 and 5, there is a shift. And the Lord is addressed in second person. The Lord is addressed in second person. He is addressed as you and your. And with this information, with this kind of picture, we will read it again, this intensely personal psalm, and just grasp everything you can from the reading. Grasp everything you can. But a psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This perhaps the best known of all of the Psalms. We want to analyze its words. Ultimately, at the end of the lesson, we are going to see how these words find fulfillment in Jesus. But the Lord is my shepherd. One writer says that in this line, two words in Hebrew, that in this line of poetry, the Lord is my shepherd, that we could write pages of prose summarizing all that is contained in that particular phrase. But what I want to do is just look at some things the Bible says about shepherds to help us appreciate the depth of this imagery. The Lord is my shepherd. One of the things you see about shepherds in the Bible is shepherds worked long hours in difficult circumstances. They worked long hours in difficult circumstances. Jacob was talking to his father-in-law Laban in Genesis 31, with whom he had a tumultuous relationship. And in Genesis 31, he was complaining how his father-in-law had mistreated him, and he emphasizes that he was keeping his father-in-law's sheep. And he said in that work, and you really need more than just verse 40 to get the whole context, but he says, by day the heat consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep fled from my eyes. Shepherds worked long hours. The sleep fled from my eyes. They worked in the heat of the day. By day the heat consumed me. They worked in the cold of night. In frost, the frost consumed me by night. Shepherds worked long hours in difficult conditions. If you wanted a 9-to-5 job, when you clicked out and they don't call you anymore until 9 o'clock in the morning, shepherd was not your work. Being a shepherd, you had to be where the sheep were. If that was a pleasant place, you were there with the sheep. If that was a difficult place, you were there with the sheep. If it was good weather, you were with the sheep. If it was bad weather, you were with the sheep. But being a shepherd involved long hours in difficult conditions. Also, in being a shepherd, sometimes it involved risking your life for the sake of the sheep. David is talking to Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 through 37. And he emphasizes that he was keeping his father's flock, and the flock was attacked by a lion, and the flock was attacked by a bear. And David, as a shepherd, had to stand up against a lion and against a bear to defend the flock. He risked his life fighting for the sheep. You worked long hours, you worked difficult conditions, and you risk your life for the sheep. Also, the shepherd cared about every individual sheep. He cared about everyone. In these passages, what you see in Matthew 18, in verses 12 through 14, and 15, verses 3 through 7, in these passages, you see a picture of a shepherd who is counting his sheep at night, and at the end of the day, he counts up his sheep. He's supposed to have 100, and he has 99. And what does he do? He goes out and searches for that one that's lost. Now, there are areas of life where 99 out of 100 is really good. A lot of students would be glad for 99 out of 100 on a test. A lot of them would be. But let's take those odds and figure them a little differently. Let's reduce the numbers some. Suppose you had 10 children. And at the end of the day, you're putting them in bed and you count them up and they're 9 there. You don't shrug your shoulder and say, 9 out of 10 is not bad. You go and you look for the one that's lost. Being a shepherd is like that. You spend all your energy, all your resources, and all your strength trying to find that one that is lost. And when you find him, he may be too weak to follow. And what shepherds often did is they took their sheep that had wandered off. They took their sheep in their arms and carried them. Listen to Isaiah 40 verse 11. Like a shepherd, he, speaking of God, will tend his flock. In his arms, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. This pictures God carrying his sheep. The same thing is made in Psalm, and that should be a colon and not a semicolon, Psalm 28. Verse 9, in that particular passage, you see the Lord carrying his sheep. But my point is that this is all in the background of the Lord as shepherd. All of this serves as our background. And it tells us how God is our protector and defender. And God cares about every one of us. And every person yesterday that stopped and took a Bible, and every person yesterday that passed by, not giving him or his word a second thought, God loves and cares for them all. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, David said. Because he is my shepherd, he satisfies our deepest need. He satisfies our deepest longing. He provides for the sheep. Notice in Psalm 23:2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. In Palestine, it is not often during the year that the pastures are green, but he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters, the still waters. God is providing his sheep with everything they need. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Sheep get lost easily. You remember how Isaiah 53 verse 6 tells us that we are all like sheep gone astray. Sheep are easily led astray, and God guides us in the paths of righteousness. And he guides us in the path of righteousness for his sake, for his glory, for his honor. If a person follows Jesus as their shepherd, and he guides them safely through life, it is a cause to give glory to God and praise to God, because all of us are weak and feeble and tend to get lost. God restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now I am sure in this audience that there are some of you who know about this much more by firsthand experience than I do. I am blessed that I have had good health, that I have had no close calls. I have been abundantly blessed in my life. But I am sure too, there are some of you who are walking through this valley or have heard horrible news about your physical condition. Or heard horrible physical news about your children's condition or other loved ones' condition. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He says, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Several years ago, I read this statement in a commentary by Derek Kidner on the book of Psalms that has always stuck with me. Only the Lord will guide a man through death or woman. All other shepherds turn back and the traveler must go alone. Now think about that quote a little bit. Who is your shepherd? If your shepherd is anyone besides the Lord, if what is it that you're looking to for meaning? What is it that you're looking to build your life on? If you're looking anywhere else, that will desert you in your greatest moment of crisis. Only the Lord will lead us through that. All other travelers must go alone. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. For you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God provides. He gives provision. He leads us in the green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. And He gives us protection. His rod and His staff will comfort us. We'll say more in a moment about this idea of shepherd and Jesus as the shepherd. But let's look at some other things in the psalm. The psalm also pictures God as a gracious host. And this is the picture in verses 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Some of the same things that are said about the picture of the Lord as shepherd are also true in the picture of the Lord as host. When the Lord is our shepherd, He makes us lie down in green pastures and beside quiet waters. He provides for us abundantly. That same picture is given in verse 5 when the Bible tells us that my cup overflows. His blessings are overrunning. Now, notice the things that God does in this text. God prepares a table in the presence of my enemies, those who disparaged us, those who mocked us, will see us honored by the Lord, the ultimate host. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anointed my head with oil. Now that may not be something you desire when you come into a person's house today, but that was part of what you did then, to be a gracious host. In the picture of Jesus eating at the Pharisee's house in Luke 7, and the sinful woman is washing Jesus' feet, in that picture, Jesus provides some things that a host generally did for his guest. In Luke 7, verse 44, he said, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet." A host often provided his guest with water to wash his feet as they walked on these dirty roads with sandals. And he says, "You gave me no water for my feet." In verse 45, "You gave me no kiss." That was a simple way to greet one another in that time, as we might do with a handshake or a hug. And then he says, "You did not anoint my head with oil." My point, all of this was part of normal treatment that a host did for his guest. And God is pictured as doing this for us. His guest. His guest at his table. And God provides a table to honor us in the presence of those who disparage us. I want to tell you, I love this next point, and I hope I can state it clearly. So work with me on this. In verse 6, "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me." Follow me. Some of your translations may have "pursue me." Follow, pursue. Your translations may have a few other words. But this particular word is used all kinds of ways in Scripture that really help us appreciate what's going on right here. For example, Proverbs chapter 13:21 talks about evil follows or pursues the sinner. It talks about the fact that evil chases those who do evil and will not let them escape the consequences. Proverbs 13 verse 21. Joshua 10 verse 19 is talking, it uses the same word, it's the same Hebrew word. It talks about one army pursuing Israel's army, in this case, pursuing, following, running after hostile armies. And they are pursuing them in the process of defeating them. Now, do you want to be pursued? Do you want to be chased? Well, it depends on what is chasing us. If we're talking about the consequences of evil chasing us, we don't like that. If we talk about a hostile army chasing us or pursuing us, following us, we don't want that. But here, look at what is chasing us. Look at what is following us in Psalm 23 verse 6. It is God's goodness and God's loving kindness that is pursuing us. And oh, may it catch me and you. His goodness and loving kindness is following me, pursuing me, chasing me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I want you to understand this too. This is just a side note. When I talked before the Lord's Supper, I talked about this world is full of pain. This world is full of difficulty. This world is full of heartache. And you know that's true. You might say this psalm presents too easy, unrealistic picture of what life is like. I want you to know this, that one of those psalms I quoted from just a moment ago to emphasize how pain-filled life was and how Jesus identifies with our pain was Psalm 22. Psalm 23 is right after it. The Bible knows both the pain of this world, the agony we experience, and it knows also the Lord is shepherd. Both of those things are true. Both of them are true. Now, he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you look through this section of Psalms, and if you see, in these verses are both from Psalms, if you look through this section of Psalms in Psalm 26, Psalm 28, the writer was longing for God's house. That was a great blessing to him. And it's a great blessing to be in God's house today. And that foreshadows being in His presence eternally. Now, I want us to see Jesus as the fulfillment of these Psalms. Jesus as the fulfillment. You remember in Isaiah 53, I alluded to it earlier, all we like sheep have gone astray. All we like sheep have gone, we are like sheep in that we go astray easily. We get lost easily. All we like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shears is silent, He does not open His mouth. It has been stated that if you go to a slaughterhouse for cattle, the mooing and lowing is deafening. If you go to a slaughterhouse for pigs, the squealing is deafening. If you go to a slaughterhouse for lambs, silence. The silence is deafening. We, like sheep, got lost. He, like a sheep, suffered without protest for our sin. He is the good shepherd. Now, Lord willing, this afternoon, when we get together, I plan to talk about the feeding of the 5,000. Is the only miracle of Jesus, in addition to the resurrection, recorded in all four Gospels. But I think there are a couple of things about Mark that are very interesting here. In Mark 6, verse 34, when this setting for the feeding of the 5,000 is being laid, the Bible says that He felt compassion for them. Jesus feels compassion for the crowd because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now that phrase is interesting. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Now later in Mark 6 verse 39, just a few verses later, the Bible, after Jesus knows that He's going to feed them, He has the disciples to break the crowds into groups of 50s and groups of 100s and sit down. And He commanded them to sit. Now I want you to listen to this. He commanded them to sit on the green grass. Wait, they're like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus begins to teach them. And they sit on the green grass. Jesus is being pictured as the good shepherd who leads His disciples into green pastures. Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it hits us directly. Jesus just said in John 10, verses 1 through 18, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. When a hireling sees the danger coming, he flees, he gets away. But the shepherd cares for the sheep. Shepherd doesn't desert the sheep. Now, I want you to think about an illustration that we used earlier, a biblical illustration. We used the illustration of David. In 1 Samuel 17, David was keeping his father's sheep, and the flock was attacked by a lion, and the flock was attacked by a bear, and David killed the lion and killed the bear. To be a shepherd, you had to defend the sheep against ferocious predators who wanted to destroy the sheep. But in most cases, the shepherd lived to tell the story. David lived to tell the story of how he killed the lion, how he had killed the bear. Jesus doesn't intend to lay down his life for the sheep. He doesn't. He lays down his life for the sheep. He died for you and for me because there's no other way that we could be right with God except by his death for our forgiveness. There is no love story like the Bible. God love that refuses to give up on us. In Revelation 7, we again see the Lord as shepherd. In verses 15 through 17, the Bible says, "For this reason they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tabernacle over them. They will hunger no more, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And He will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye." The Lamb, think about this. Jesus is pictured in Revelation as the Lamb. He is the Lamb, and yet He also is the Shepherd. The Lamb in the center of the throne will be their Shepherd. He'll guide them to springs of the water of life. He makes them lie down by quiet water. And He provides for our every need so that He wipes away every tear. He is our shepherd now. He will be our shepherd throughout eternity. He is shepherd, and He is pictured as host. Now, my guess is this is a concept that you haven't thought as much about as you may have Jesus as shepherd. Do you remember when Jesus, there was a centurion who came to Jesus? Or actually, Jewish elders sent a message to Jesus and said, "Jesus, there's a centurion whose servant is very sick. You should come and heal him, for he loves our nation, and he has built us a synagogue." Jesus went on his way to heal the centurion's servant. But as he got closer to the house, the centurion sent out another group that said, "Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. But I am a man under authority, but I say to this one, do this and he does it, and to that one, do that and he does it. I know you can just say the word and my servant will be healed." And Jesus just speaks the word and heals his servant. But the faith of this Gentile leads Jesus to say in Matthew 8, verses 11 and 12, that many will come from east and west and sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. The picture there is a picture that some biblical writers and some who've studied the Bible intensely describe as the messianic banquet. And that is the idea that in the end, one of the pictures of salvation is all God's people eating together in His presence in heaven. Not saying it's a literal picture, but I'm saying that it's a picture of salvation. Some of your best times in life have been around the table with people you love at pleasant times, and the Bible pictures salvation that way. And sometimes rejecting God's offer of salvation is turning down an invitation to a banquet. Who turns down an invitation to a banquet? Not many college kids did. They didn't turn down invitations to come eat for nothing. And most of the time we don't either. And God is inviting us to His banquet. For Him to be host and us to be the guest at His table. And this describes our relationship with God and our relationship in all these passages. There's a banquet invitation with your name on it. For God wants you to be saved. And God wants you to be in His presence forever. There's a banquet invitation with your name on it. Will you accept the Lord to be your gracious host? In the New Testament, we find when people realize that they've sinned. And friend, we'll talk about this more on Wednesday night. But all of us know that. All of us know that we've done things, we've said things that embarrass us, that are wrong. We know we've sinned. We know we need mercy. We need grace. Oh, our list of sins may not make the front page of the Constitution Journal. But we know we've sinned. And we know we've fallen short. And Jesus loved us so much that as a good shepherd, He laid down His life for the sheep. And the way we should respond to that is to repent, to say, I'm not going to walk in rebellion to God anymore. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to change the course I'm on. We're going to seek to be His disciples. And in the New Testament, those people were baptized into Jesus to have their sins washed away. If you've done that and wandered away, God is the good shepherd is looking for you. Jesus is the good shepherd is looking for you. He's inviting you back. If you want to repent, confess your sins and pray for God's forgiveness. God is gracious and anxious to forgive. But the brethren here would be glad to help you as we stand and as we sing.